Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah, we praise you. We lift you up, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. I'm just glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. It's good to see each and every one of you out. We're not going to dismiss Children's Church this morning, so you guys are going to stay in here with us. So, Brother Ryan, he's already been told, don't worry about the clock. So, Brother Ryan's going to come. Thank you for being here this morning. Come on, brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Being in the South. You guys are on fire.
Wow.
I went and preached in Minnesota a couple weeks ago in Minneapolis. I'm from Minneapolis originally, and then moved down to Nashville, Tennessee. God saved me and moved me from the cold down to where it's a little bit warmer. But I was preaching there, and everybody had their arms crossed just staring at me the whole time, those northern people. Down south, you get some old ladies just standing on the pew shouting you down the whole time. You know it's a good meeting. Up north, you know, you get three smiles, and you know you're having a good meeting. They just stood at me the whole time like this. And then after, they all came up, and they're like, that was the best message I've ever heard. That was powerful. I'm like, well, you should notify your face. That's good. But for those of you that don't know me, my name is Ryan Edberg. I'm from Nashville, Tennessee. I've been married for 12 years, going on 13 years. I've got four kids. I'm a little bit older than I look, but I don't act like it. So it is good to be doing youth ministry. We are out there after the youth and like crazy. We do about 15 youth conferences all over the country, all over the world, every single year. And we're seeing the youth set on fire for Jesus. Yeah, this is not just a typical youth conference either, where there's a big grand finale to salvation message. We do that within the first hour of being there. How many of you know that it's way more than just saying a prayer?
Amen.
You know, we think that the salvation prayer is the most important thing you can ever do, but that's the beginning. We're preaching from the right side of the cross that Jesus paid it all. So we had people being filled with the Holy Spirit there. They were, you know, we were praying for them. We saw healings. It was amazing. And it's not just about say this prayer, we'll see you next year. You know, God never called us to make converts. He called us to make disciples.
Amen.
And so we're out there with this youth. We heard that this was a hopeless generation. And when we started, they said, don't do youth conferences. All my business friends and people around me, they said, you're going to go broke. And so what I did is start 15 of them.
There you go. Amen. Hallelujah.
You know, my God is bigger than my bank account. See, I feel excited this morning because I can preach what I want because we already did the love offering. So I can say what I want now. It just frees me all up. Well, that's good to go. I often like to talk on prosperity and the gift of God because it's there. But when you start preaching, they're like, ah, that's just a preacher. He wants our money. You've already given me your money, so I can just preach this morning. That's good. We don't look at it as a love offering. We look at it as a seed that you're planting, and we pray over that seed. Because it's not just here, we hope that you guys do well. We're going after a generation, so it's good ground that you're sowing into. You no farmer puts in ground or puts in seed and doesn't expect a harvest. We're expecting that seed to go out and return with friends.
Amen?
Even on my message yet. But it's good. I just want you guys to know what you're sowing into and what you're partnering with. It's an honor to even be here because, as you know, as a pastor, you just don't hand your mic over to anybody. You just can't do that. There's a lot of people with bad theology. And so it's an honor and a privilege just to even be here this morning. So thank you guys, especially last minute. If not, I would have been just sitting there texting my wife this morning. So that's an honor to be here. I want to go back to the ground roots, back to the basic principle. I want to talk about faith this morning because doing youth conferences takes faith. Doing anything in life takes faith. And we hear over and over in the Word to live by faith, to live by faith. So I want to go there this morning because I have a word for this morning for you guys. And so I was reading through the Old Testament, reading through the Egyptians and the Israelites and just that whole story about God's people being set free. And I believe that we're in that spot today where God's people still need to be set free. There's, it says that my people will perish because of lack of knowledge. And so today, I want to give some knowledge. We just want to continue. Iron sharpens iron. So I want to talk about the Israelites, because I was reading the story, and I'm like, as you read in the 10 plagues, you see it says every time after the plague that God hardened their hearts. I'm like, why was he doing that? Like, wouldn't it be just first plague, let my people go, there they go. Shorter story, but a lot less trouble. I'm like, well, God, why did you keep hardening Pharaoh's heart? And you ever hear stuff from God where it's just so good that you got to write it down so you don't forget it? You're like, oh, that is good. That can't be me. That's good. So I was writing this stuff down, and God began to speak to me just about that. And he wasn't just hardening Pharaoh's heart to do that. What he was doing was building faith in his people. He was building faith, because as soon as they got out into the desert, what was the first thing that they said? God has brought us out here to die.
Yeah,
you know, the 10 plagues, miracles. Now, put these miracles into perspective for a moment. It says in the word that there were 600,000 men leaving Egypt and headed to the promised land. Most scholars would say that that is about 2 million people. 2 million people leaving slavery and headed to the promised land. Now, I had a picture Bible, and it didn't do that story justice now that I'm able to study a little bit more. My picture Bible, you guys have picture Bibles when you're a kid? You know, when Moses comes in and strikes the rock and water comes out and there's a little trickle there and they're like taking their hands and drink. Think 2 million people. That is not a small miracle. I bet the side of a mountain split and created a lake for 2 million people to have a drink, plus cattle and animals. This was not just a little miracle. God was showing his people, I am God, and I am going to show you miracles.
Amen.
You know, while the 10 plagues were happening to the Egyptians, the Israelites had nothing happening to them. They were there. They were seeing destruction. God was showing them, I am your God. I am your God. I am your God. They walk out in the desert after they're free, and they're there, and they're like, he's brought us out here. The Egyptians are coming to kill us. It would be better for us to go back and be slaves.
Yeah.
You see, they had a poverty mindset.
Yeah, come on.
God had to break that poverty mindset.
Yeah, come on.
And he had to break that from them first. They came out and they said it would be better for us to go. Think of this. He parted the seas. That wasn't just an aisle like in our church where they walked through. 2 million people. How far did the waters part and they walked across on dry land? Was it 30 miles, 20 miles? How big was it to get 2 million people plus animals across on dry land?
Amen.
This is a big miracle.
Amen.
They get on the other side and what do they say? God brought us out here to die. We're starving.
Yeah,
we have nothing to eat.
Come on.
I'm like, God, what is happening with your people? He's showing them miracle after miracle after miracle. So did you know in life there are, we try to think that there's all these different paths in life. Like, well, my parents want me to do this, and I've got some friends and coworkers, they think I should do this, and I'm just going to do things my own way. And well, the devil's really pulling me this direction. And there's God's way, but let's just say there's only two ways. There's God's ways and then not God's ways. Everybody else's ways fall into not God's ways. You see, God's plan from the beginning, we read the story of the Israelites and we think, man, God had them wander for 40 years in the desert. Did you know that that was never God's plan?
Come on.
Think about it. I didn't know where Israel was on a map compared to Egypt, but it's about 220 miles, 230 miles, depending on where you're going. Did you know that with 2 million people, Moses could have been entering into the promised land while people were still leaving Egypt?
Wow. Come on, brother.
That was God's plan. He wasn't taking them for 40 years. That would be like us here in Oklahoma. We're going to head to Dallas, but we're going to stop in New York and Miami first just to take the scenic route. I mean, we're just going to wander that way and then get to Dallas. I've got a good plan. Let's head to Dallas. And follow me. It's this way. In the desert, that was not God's plan from the beginning. Let me read a verse to you real quick here in Exodus 12, 35 and 36. It says, and now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, that they had asked the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and articles of clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, that they had granted them what they requested. Thus, they plundered the Egyptians. You see, God's plan from the beginning, if you were to walk about 200 and some miles, would be about a week or a little less. And God gave them gold, silver, and clothing. Yeah. Headed into the land flowing of milk and honey.
Yes.
You see, some of us feel like we're in this desert place and we're just wandering. And we think that God's just got us in this, this spot of testing. Did you know that that might not be God's plan for your life?
Oh,
that
on.
He might have you headed to the land of promise? That he might have you a promised land for? He sent them with gold, silver, everything that they ever needed in a week's walk to enter into more than enough in the land.
Yeah.
That was God's plan for them.
Hallelujah.
What kept them out? Their lack of faith.
Their
lack of faith. You see, they had that poverty mindset. And you see that when they went into the promised land, they stood there and he said, go in and take the land. Here's their first problem. Immediately they said, let's send in the spies.
Yeah. Yeah.
They should have never even said that. They should have said, okay, God.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, when God says jump, we don't ask how high we should be in the air.
Yes, come on, brother.
Too many questions.
Come on.
When God says jump, we just jump.
Yeah.
You see, the first thing they said was, well, let's send in our spies because we want to get a good report. We want to see there. They came back and 10 of them said, no, we can't do that. We are grasshoppers in their sight. You see, they viewed themselves as grasshoppers.
Yeah,
we're nothing. They came from Egypt where they were nothing. They still viewed themselves as nothing.
Yeah.
And God had to have them wander to get the stinking thinking out before they entered into their promised land.
Come on.
You see, they were wandering in the desert, wandering. He had to kill off that bad thinking.
Come on.
And a whole generation until they came up and they said, we can take that land. And the only two that went in were the two people that said we could do that from the beginning. Where's your faith at? Where's your faith at? God has got something big. We feel sometimes like we're on this hamster wheel in life. And we're just getting there. And we're like, God, where are you? You see, we look at the Israelites and we say one thing after another. God shows a massive miracle after massive miracle after massive miracle. And they say, well, we brought out here to die. And then they say, well, we've got nothing to eat. So God sends manna.
Yeah.
Roughly translated, what is it?
Yeah.
So God's sending them, what is it? It says that it tasted sweet of honey. I'm sure it was great. I'm sure it was delicious. Now, I don't know about you. You're in Oklahoma, so probably your favorite food is steak. I love seafood, but I don't know if I could even eat seafood for 40 years every single day. I would want to switch it up a little bit. But what I find interesting is that even though God didn't have them in this spot, that he had a promised land for them waiting for them to go in and take, he still provided for them. He still loved them. Some of us will sit there and be like, well, you're not in the will of God. You're not in the perfect will of God. So God just, you know, God was still providing for his people. He still loved them. There wasn't condemnation on that. He was still trying to get them into the promised land. He was providing for them every single day. What is manna? This is magical bread. The magical bread. Why do I say that? Because it said those who gathered too much didn't have too much. Those who gathered too little didn't have lack. And he said, do not store for the next day. Get it every single day. Every single day. And if they saved it for the next day, it smelled bad and it had worms. Except for on the Sabbath. Then it was okay to keep it and it didn't smell bad. It didn't have worms. It's magical bread. This bread knows when the Sabbath day is. And then he says, grab a jar full of it and keep it for generation to generation to generation to show them what God provided for you every single day. This magical bread that he should. It even wasn't what God had for them. It wasn't plan A. Plan A was, here, I'm going to give you gold, silver, clothing, more than enough, a week's walk. I've got a land flowing of milk and honey. Just go in and take them out. And the first thing they said is, we're grasshoppers in their eyes. So they were complaining. I was like, God, why did your people do that? Why do they do that? And he spoke to me and said, that's my church today.
Come on,
that's my church today. I'm like, we haven't changed at all. Yeah. Why do you say that? Are you looking at a situation right now in life and you're saying, God, I can't do this. How am I going to get through this? We look at our past and God has never let us down. We look at our past and he's done miracle after miracle after miracle. And still, we come up to a wall and we say, God, where are you? Have you brought me here to die? Are you not standing with us anymore? God, where are you? When we look at our past and there's been breakthrough after prayer, it's no different than the Egyptians or the Israelites leaving from Egypt. We stand up against a difficult situation and life's going to be tough. There's going to be some hard things in life. But we stand up there. We should look at our past and our track record with God to say, God's got me through this. He's got me through that. I don't know how I'm going to get through this, but he's not going to let me down now. That's our faith working.
Come on.
Our faith can get us there, or your faith can leave you in a desert wandering for years.
Yeah, come on, brother.
He's going to be providing for you. But I've decided in my life, I'm done with manna.
Come on.
I'm done with enough for the day. Yeah. Some of us are living in a financial situation of enough for the day, where it's just enough to get by.
Come on, brother.
That's not what God has for you. He has plenty. He's trying to get your faith into the mindset of plenty, where you are blessed to be a blessing to others. What? How much does it bless God if you can't even pay your own light bill? That brings no glory to God. You need to be in a spot of plenty where you can bless those around you. It's not about us. It's not about stuff. It's not about us. God's not trying to get stuff to you. He's trying to get stuff through you.
Come on.
We talked about that last night at the youth conference, about being filled with the Holy Spirit. We've got a whole church and a generation that's saying, fill me up, Lord, fill me up, fill me up, Lord. And they want this tickle me Jesus moment. That I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, that's great. He's not trying to just fill you. He's trying to move through you.
Yes.
How about letting him out? Not just being filled, but letting him out. The Holy Spirit flowing through you. So we can heal the sick, raise the dead, prophesy. We can do all of that. God's got something for this generation of plenty. He's got more than enough. If you think that our God is broke or poor, just tell, look at what he told the Israelites to build a temple at. My God is a pretty big God. I want my temple of gold, and I want the statue like this. I want pearls. I want the best rubies. I want, you're like, God, you could just sell that, God, and give it to the poor. God, shouldn't you just, you know, when people say that, you hear that on Facebook a lot, and a pastor's believing for something, and they're like, well, you could do it smaller and give the rest to the poor. You know who you sound like? Judas.
Come on.
Judas said that same thing while he was stealing from the church.
Come on,
I'm saying there's a spirit of poverty in the church. That God's got more than enough. Don't limit God. God's only limitation is your belief and your faith in him. He's looking for believers. We say we're believers, but what do we believe in? Well, I don't believe in this. Well, I don't believe in speaking in tongues. I don't believe in healing. I don't believe in prophecy today. You're not a believer. You're a doubter.
Yeah.
Says these signs will follow those who believe. We want to believe in the signs, but the signs follow the believers. It's different. It's backwards. Well, I'll believe once I see. No, you will see once you believe. It's different. It's a different mindset today. But what's your faith at? Where's your faith at? So I began to pray. I began to look through this. And it says in Romans 1:17, it says, for the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith.
Yes.
As it is written, the just shall live by faith. We're supposed to live by faith.
Yes,
in life, we have these roller coaster rides.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to be like that. It's not supposed to be like that. We come to church and we feel close to God. And we can do anything. We can take over the world. I'm really going to do this or that. I'm going to talk to that guy at my work. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then we get back into our routine and we feel down here. God, where are you? What's happening? And then we have an experience. It's not supposed to be that. This verse says we go from faith to faith to faith to faith. From mountaintop to mountaintop to mountaintop to mountaintop. We don't have to go into the valleys. That's our own decision. That's our own belief. That's where we just put ourselves. We're supposed to go from faith to faith.
Amen.
So if we're supposed to have faith, what is faith? How do we get faith? It says in Romans 10:17, it says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Yes.
See, it's not just hearing, because we hear a lot of things. You turn on CNN, you're not going to get much faith. You turn on the news or media and you intake that for a while. If you put that in your ears for a while, it's going to build something, but that's called fear, because fear comes by hearing too, hearing anything other than the word of God.
Come on.
You can swap out fear and faith in almost any sentence and just do the opposite.
Come on.
The just shall live by faith. The unjust shall live by fear.
Yeah.
Switch it out.
Yeah.
If we're supposed to live by faith and faith comes by hearing. So I love to teach on healing, and we do a conference called Truth and Power as well, where we come into a church for free, and we teach on healing and all the gifts of the Spirit, and then we pray for people and see miracles, and it's powerful. So we were doing that, but my mom had an infection, and it caused her not to be able to hear. And so she was just talking to me, and she's like, why? I mean, I've been healed of some major things. I mean, we prayed for her, and I was like, you're thinking it all wrong. You need good teaching. It's not just about, let's just pray for you. And it's, you need good teaching first, and that good teaching will get into your heart and start to manifest your breakthrough. And so I was going through this on faith, and she was just asking me. She's like, well, God's healed me of this and healed me of this, and I'm believing for this, but why is it not happening? And we've all been there. We've all been there. She's like, why doesn't it happen? I said, well, here's what God told me. I said, God said that some people, there's a gift of faith, and there's a gift of healing, there's a gift of miracles, there's a gift of, like, I just went through them all. I said, why is it different that there's a gift of healing and a gift of miracles? I said, sometimes we come forward, and we are coming forward for a healing, we receive a healing, but because it wasn't a miracle, we go and we lose what was given to us.
Come on.
Because they're different. We expect this to happen for healing. It says, lay hands on the sick and they will recover as a process.
Right.
They will recover. There's different kinds of healing. Yeah. And sometimes we come forward, we're believing. God's not holding anything back from you. But because we come forward and it didn't happen the way that we thought, we get into doubt right away.
Yeah. Come on.
And it says, a double-minded man, how can he expect to get anything?
Yeah.
And I'm going to go into that in a second. But I say that to say my mom couldn't hear. So she's like, what? And I said, no, well, see, there's different process through everything. And I believe you have received a healing and you're just kind of walking out. She's like, what? I said, faith comes by hearing and you can't hear. it was a joke. But I was reading through that and I thought it was pretty funny. So here's what God had shown me about faith that I had to write down. And I've read this verse 100 times. As soon as you hear a verse that you've read, you just kind of shut it off and repeat it in your head. Like the Lord's Prayer, you hear that, you're like, Our Father, and it means nothing to you, but it could be the most powerful prayer ever. And think about the Lord's Prayer just for 1 second. Why it even starts. See, Jesus teaches how to pray. Start with this, Our Father. That changes everything. You're not saying, God, please help me. You're like, hey, Father, I need this. I can stand boldly before you because you're my Father.
Yeah.
Pray like this, Our Father. It changes everything. You're not afraid to ask your dad for anything. Hopefully not. If you've got a good dad. If you don't, we'll have a different message for that. But I've read this verse 100 times and it came to life to me. And God started to speak to me about this verse. It says in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Yeah.
Now, I don't even know if you got that.
Right, come on.
I started to break down each word and start to look it up. Yeah. It says that faith is the substance. What is a substance? Substance, if you look it up in the dictionary, is a matter. An actual particles or pieces. Faith is an actual physical thing, molecules, particles, that is building. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. So what you're hoping for, this is what's building it. The evidence of things not seen. So faith is the evidence of things not seen. How do you prove that this is going to happen? Look at the faith. That's all the proof you need.
Yeah, come on.
Look at the proof. This is actually building. And I said, God, this is a lot for me to take in at the moment. And this is what he spoke to me. He said, people are confusing hope and faith. Hope is wishing for the best while your faith produces.
Come on.
Did you hear that? Hope wishes for the best. And I know that there's a lot of people in here where you think you're in faith, but it's really you're in hope. Because you come forward and you're thinking, man, I'm going to go forward and I'm believing God could heal me. This could happen. It's a coin flip. I might walk back to the seat just the same or not. That's not faith. That's a coin flip, and you're hoping God's going to do something instead of putting your faith into what Jesus has already done. That's different. Your faith is he's already done that. That's my blood covenant, and so I can receive that, and I'm going to stand on that promise until it manifests into the natural. Does that make sense?
Amen.
So what is the evidence of the things that you're hoping for? It's the faith. If we were to have, you know, a police officer come in here and there's a crime, he would say, well, here's this and here's that and here's this. And so all the evidence is pointing to you. And the proof is all right here. You're the one that did that. The evidence of the proof of what's happening is your faith.
Come on.
See, I moved from Minnesota to Tennessee. And when I was moving with a semi-truck behind me, I didn't have a house yet. I had an agreement, but I hadn't put one penny down. I hadn't signed my name. I hadn't done anything. But the evidence of emails back and forth with realtors, of us agreeing on a price, that evidence was enough for me to actually move from one place to another. The evidence was strong enough for me to move.
Hallelujah.
Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The evidence, your faith, should be strong enough for you to move into a spot. Your faith is actually producing. If you were going to go into, if you were going to go in and get a 2020 vehicle, maybe they have them already. They probably do. They're way ahead of things. But if you're going to go in and get a 2020 vehicle and you pay for it right now, you don't have the vehicle yet, but you know it's coming. Why? Because you can go and look and look. The machines are actually putting the car together. It's actually building your car. So that faith of what you're looking at, that's enough evidence for me to pay for, because your faith is actually building. It's behind the scenes producing, and you say, I don't know when it's coming, but I know it's being built right now. And I'm willing to stand on that.
Yeah. Amen.
The greatest story of my favorite Bible story is in Matthew 14. 22 through 32. I'm going to read it real quick. It's Peter walking on the water. And I want to show you a few things, because I've heard this preached a million times, but there's usually a few things that they miss. And I want to show this to you this morning. It says, immediately Jesus made his way to his disciples to get into the boat before him and go on the other side. While he sent the multitude away, and when he had sent the multitude away, he went up on the mountainside to pray by himself. If Jesus needs to get away to spend time with God, how important is that for to get away and spend time with God? And now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I, don't be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said to him, come. And Peter came down out of the boat, and he walked on the water to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, and he was afraid and began to sink, and he cried out loud, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him, and said to him, ye of little faith, why did you doubt? And when he got into the boat, the wind ceased. There's so much in this story. There's so much in the story. First off, they're going on a boat across. The wind and the wave, it says that it was crazy wind, waves. There was a storm in the middle of it. So I don't know about you. Like most of the Bible stories, you're like, you see a miracle and you're like, well, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. This is a man like you and me.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that you can't walk on water unless you're from Minnesota and it's winter. Then you can walk on the water. But other than that, you can't walk on the water. And so here's a man, just like me, walking on the water.
Yeah.
I mean, what can't we do?
Come on, brother. Come on,
He's walking on the water. And see, It says, ye of little faith, why did you doubt? I'm like, Lord, what are you talking about? Little faith. That's not little faith. I don't know anybody that would get out of a boat and try to walk across the sea, let alone in the wind and the waves and the storm. It's crashing. Things are blowing. It's probably smashing up against the side. Maybe he had to get back in the boat and wait for the wave to crash and pass to step out on that to start to walk. That's not little faith, Lord. But he qualifies it at the end. You see, when Peter was a smart guy, he said, Lord, if that's you, tell me to come. What was Jesus going to say? That's not me. Stay there. Gotcha. What was he going to say? He said, come. And instantly, it changed everything. Why? Because when Peter got out, he wasn't walking on water. He was walking on the Word of God. You can walk on the Word of God. You can't walk on water, but you can walk on a Word. Many of us have words that were given to us that we say, you know, God, what am I going to do? How am I going to do this? But if it was a word, you can walk on it. God, how am I going to do youth conference? God, you know my bank account. I'm not qualified for this. God, I can't do this. I can't put a couple $100,000 into youth that I don't know. My bank account does not support that. But God, if you said I could, I'm going to get out and start to walk towards you. And we'll see what happens. And God has never let us down. God, I don't know how we're going to get through this, but I can look at the past and I see that you've never let me down. So I'm willing to step out of the boat and walk through this situation. You see, Jesus qualified it because we know that it wasn't the amount of faith, because faith the size of a mustard seed could move a mountain. So it wasn't small faith. Even if he had a mustard seed, he could walk on water. But what did he say? He said, why did you doubt? So it wasn't the amount of his faith. It was the duration of his faith. Ye of little faith was talking about the length of it. Yeah. It didn't last. So some of us come down and we're believing for a healing or believing for a miracle, and your faith starts to put that into motion and start to create. And then all of a sudden it didn't happen like we thought it was going to, and we stopped production on our own miracle. We stopped the production.
Come on.
We wonder, we sit there, God, where are you? And he's saying, you just stopped production.
Come on, brother.
You stopped building it. Yeah. Well, what am I going to do now? Get in faith again. Get in faith again. So it starts to produce. You turn off all the power on that vehicle that's being made, and you sit at the end and say, where's my car?
Yeah.
You turned off the power.
Come on, brother.
I'm saying more than I'm saying.
Come on.
If you can hear it in the spirit. God's speaking to you today about get in faith again. Get in faith again, because there's been dreams and stuff spoken over you. You've maybe gotten a word. You've maybe gotten something that God has spoken to you. And we've stopped production on that. Because we've stepped out of faith. A double-minded man, how can you expect to receive anything when your faith was actually building it for a season and then stopped? You have stopped the growth of it. You've aborted what was going to happen. It's time to rebuild again, to give life again, to dream again, to believe God again. Because we're supposed to go from faith to faith. And sometimes we will come up against situations. Man, the devil's biggest trick is to put fear in your life. God's biggest thing is to put faith in you. The devil's biggest thing is to put fear in you. Which one are you going to take? Because as soon as you get a word, or you get something, or you're believing for a miracle, or you receive some kind of healing, you'll feel worse maybe the next day. And you're able to take that. We are not the sick trying to get healed.
Come on,
we are the healed resisting sickness.
Hallelujah.
It was done 2,000 years ago.
Yes, it was.
By his stripes, we were healed.
Yes.
We're healed.
Yes.
We talk about salvation message at the youth conference, and we said it would be foolish for us to come up here and say, you know, who wants to receive Jesus? The place fills up, and we're like, all right, this is how you do it. You just, come on, Jesus, die on the cross. Would you please die on the cross? We want you to die on the cross for us tonight. Jesus, die on the cross for us tonight. That would be silly. Why? Because he died on the cross.
Yeah.
What is the it's not a magical prayer. There's not a sinner's prayer in the Bible. It says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that you will be saved. The sinner's prayer on the cross, while Jesus was there, the thief looked at him and said, remember me. That was the sinner's prayer at the moment. What happened? What's the magic that's happening there? It was your faith in what Jesus has already done.
Hallelujah.
your faith in what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. Your sins were paid for 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
When did you accept it? When did you receive it?
Come on.
We talked to the kids. We said, your sin don't send you to hell. Your sins were paid for 2,000 years ago. Your lack of Jesus Christ will send you to hell. It's through him and him only. Sins were paid for on the cross, past, present, and future. Do you have Jesus in your life? But yet we'll come forward and for healing and we'll say, God, please heal us. Please heal us. Please heal us. Would you please heal us? God, why don't you heal us? If it's your will, God, please heal us. It's not his will. Maybe it's not his will. Maybe I shouldn't do this. And we get in this doubt. We play these mind games. But we're really arguing with God over something he already paid for 2,000 years ago. And instead of receiving what he's paid for, it's yours. It's already yours. Salvation is not free. Salvation was the highest price that was ever paid for anything. It's already paid for. It's yours. You go to the buffet, you can choose what you want from it, but you've already paid for all of it. So do you? What do you want from it? You can just have salvation if you want, or you can have healing, and you can have prosperity, or you can have... If these will follow those that believe. What are you believing for? Did you just believe for salvation? Because you're going to get to heaven and find out there is so much more. So much more. There was a land flowing of milk and honey for you, but you had more than enough and just enough for the day. And you get to heaven and you realize, I've missed so much of what God had for me. He wanted to move through me. He wanted to touch this generation. He wanted to heal people around me. It wasn't about, God, give me healing for this so that I could pray. I mean, so it's so that you can touch a generation. Ministry is about people. It's not about you. It's about the people.
Come on.
There's so much that he has for us, but we got to get into faith. I'm about to preach another four messages, but we got to get into the spot of faith because God has the promised land waiting for us. He's got stuff. The only reason that you're wandering is because of your belief system. Get the right teaching in it. If you want to have faith, how do you get faith? It's by the word of God and renewing your mind every single day.
Hallelujah.
If you don't renew your mind to the word, it will be renewed by something else. So if you want that faith, build it by the word of God. If you're not in faith and you're in fear, you have to ask yourself, what have you been putting in?
Come on, that's good, brother.
You got to put your... I have this guy. There's a gift of faith. If you look in the Bible, there's a gift of faith where people just have this gift of faith. And I wish that was my gift. I'm praying for that gift. But there's people that they believe, that they believe, that they believe. I have this friend, and he was coming up to Minnesota, and he was like, I am just so excited to be here because I've never seen a timber wolf. I want to see a timber wolf. And we're like... Well, we've been here our whole life. We've never seen a timber wolf. He's like, no, God loves me so much. We're going to see this timber wolf. And I'm like, well, it's not like you think. They're not like dogs just walking around and you just shoot timber wolves away. I mean, maybe some parts of the state up by Canada, but we've never seen a timber wolf. And he's like, no, God, I'm just so excited to see a timber wolf. And a timber wolf goes across the road pulling deer carcass. I'm like, you're my lucky penny. What are you talking about? And the same guy, he was like, had all this stuff legally come against him. Millions of dollars of accusations. He's like, I didn't do anything. God bless you. This guy, no, this looks bad. They've got all this stuff on you. You're going to prison. Now, God bless me. This is going to be great. They drop everything on him. Millions of dollars. They're like, we can't even find anything. You're just go. I'm like, I want a gift of faith. If you don't have that gift of faith where you know that you know that you know and nothing can persuade you otherwise, how do you get faith? Renew your mind. Renew your mind. I've got to renew my mind every single day. If I don't, I can feel it because I'm like, oh my goodness, we're doing a youth conference. I don't have enough tickets sold. I'm going to lose $5,000 on this event. Oh dear Jesus, are you really standing with us? And I have to remind myself. I'm preaching to myself this morning. You can listen if you want. Because we need to renew our mind every single day. We have to go back to the word to find out his promises, because his promises are for you. But if you don't know those promises, how are you going to receive them?
Come on, that's good. Come on.
My people perish because of lack of knowledge. If you don't know what you don't know, you just don't know it. That's deep. build up your faith so that when there is something that you need to break through, when God does ask you to step out onto the water, you're able to do it because you look and you built a track record with God. And you look in your past and you say, I don't know how this is going to go, but I know how all of that turned out. And so I can get out. I can walk this way trusting you.
Yes, amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Did you guys get something out of that this morning? Well, thank you guys for blessing Kingdom and for doing a love offering and helping us get from event to event. And I want to challenge you guys in giving and faith, too. We've already done the love offering, so I'm not going there. But what I'm saying is, don't just give to where your tithe is at. Give to where your faith is at. If you give to where your faith is at with seed, give to where you want to go and not where you're at. Because you're giving in faith and you're giving a seed, and you're believing for something bigger, so you give bigger because you trust God. You can't outgive God.
Come on,
man. You're not like, God, well, here's $1,000. He's like, oh, I don't know what to do with that. I can't return that. Oh, my goodness. Streets of gold. He's all right. You cannot outgive God. So you don't give to where you're at. You give to where you want to go. You give to where the breakthrough is that you're believing for. Amen? I thank you guys for letting me be here on Sunday. You guys have been awesome. I appreciate you guys. I'm going to turn back over to the pastor. And you can close it out in any way you would like. But thank you.